I'd like to read the scripture to you. It says, this is Jesus' testimony, some of it. In Isaiah 53, he said, who has believed what we have heard? I want to challenge you tonight. Do you believe what you're hearing tonight? Because his arm is not too short. And this is God showing you his strength, showing you his power in frail humanity. That he entwines himself with frail humanity. And it says he grew up before him like a young plant, like a root out of dry ground. Speaking of Jesus, he didn't have an impressive form or majesty that we should look at him, no appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrow who knew what sickness was. He was like someone people turned away from. He was despised and we did not value him. And I'm so glad this Jesus tonight that comes to us because we can't get to him on our own. This Jesus that Emmy and Richie and so many people that you saw worshiping the Lord tonight, that he knows, he understands. He's not a high falutin God in the sky, but he allowed himself to walk this earth and to go through everything that you would ever go through. I mean, are you here in this place tonight and you just feel of no value, of no worth? Because maybe you have part of Emmy's testimony that you've been touched in ways that nobody had business touching you. People that you trusted, people that were supposed to make you safe. And your value, your identity has been marred and misshapen because of life's circumstances, life's happening. And rejection is so ugly. Rejection is so painful. It does so much damage to our lives. You could be sitting here tonight and you just messed up. You don't even know. Some people are here tonight and you knew Jesus. You knew him. And you're even so shameful and so humiliated that you don't think that he's a God that you could come back to. But I'll tell you, you could come again and again and again. God has something for everyone here tonight. What I'd like to start sharing with you tonight is that I grew up in an Italian family. I was the oldest of five children. My mother had another daughter who should have been older than me, and she lived about a half hour, and so I just still consider her my sister. I know I'm going to see her in heaven. But it was an amazing time in my young age. We had a big family. We all lived together in the house, and like every family, you know, we just learned how to function and dysfunction. Amen? And they did the best that we could. I thank God for my mother because she sent me to church every Sunday. She sent me to this little church down the block every Sunday. And two things that I want to bring out. There used to be this little church down the block, and I would sneak there, and I would jump the fence because there was this statue of Jesus there. And I would go there and just sit there and talk to him. I would talk to him since I was a little girl. I would get punished a lot, a lot. I was always in trouble. And there was always people in my house, and I would always be sent to my room. And I was like Emmy. As a matter of fact, I had a canopy bed, and I used to take the four posts, one of the posts off, and I used to just use that as a microphone, and I used to pretend I was a teacher. So I'm telling you, God knows what he's doing with us. But anyhow, in this place, it was just, I've always felt, you know, pushed away. No value. I was always alone. I think in that place, that's when the enemy came and started sowing in all the rejection. And it seemed like every person that I loved, every person's that the same hands that would hug me eventually harmed me. Like I would get beaten to a pulp a lot. And I was so confused. And I would stuff all of this hurt down. And I became really tough on the outside. But I kept pushing stuff down and pushing the hurt down and pushing the pain down. And if you would have known me, you wouldn't have known, because I was like the life of the party. It didn't start until I got there. It didn't end until I left. And I always had this kind of personality, but deep inside, I was very lonely. I was very suicidal. I would get suicidal thoughts in that room since I was a little girl. And when I was about 13 years old, I started doing my first drug, which was cocaine. And there was a candy store a couple of blocks away. Now, Richie was in one crime family. This candy store had a little bit more than candy, if you know what I mean. There was everything illegal that was going on there. Illegal drugs. Everything fell off the truck. It just so happened it was my size. So we had stolen goods. We had credit card rings. There was numbers running. And listen, you can't make this stuff up. I got a friend here tonight. She was married to the guy that played, her husband was the guy that played Joe Pesci in Goodfellas. You cannot make this stuff up. So my friends, you would have seen movies about them. You would have heard about them. Some are dead. Some are in prison for life. And some I'm still praying for. But God had a plan and a purpose. And I went to this candy store and I just loved the action. I loved the racetracks. And I started getting mixed into this kind of lifestyle. And it was there that I met my first boyfriend. It was like the love of my life. And at a very young age, I got pregnant. And so we decided that we were going to get married. I want to say to you who's ever in the house today, sex is not love. Don't give it up for nobody. Nobody's worth it. Amen. I was about 3 months pregnant and I was going to a doctor, and it was like one of my last visits, and the doctor asked me, matter-of-factly, have you ever had the German measles? And I had just gotten over them. And he said to me, you cannot have this baby. You cannot have this baby. You have to get an abortion. And I'm telling you, it was fear and ignorance mixed together. And I got this guy up in the middle of the night and told him to take me over here to Park Avenue. And I woke up. He begged me not to do this. And I woke up in a puddle of blood. Instead of walking down the aisle, I woke up in an abortion clinic in a puddle of blood. And not long later, this guy just took off on me. The choices we make today affect our lives for tomorrow. I will say this to you. I will never know the pleasure of looking into my son or daughter's eyes. After that happened, it was like a total ostracizing because he didn't want me and he didn't want nobody else to bother with me. And so that was when my life just started going on a downward spiral. And just to pick up the pace, because I got so much to tell you, but I ended up like doing so many drugs. I would be out for days. I would be doing cocaine. I would be doing heroin. And after years of this, there was a darkness that was working in me. There was a loneliness. There was a rejection. I tried so many times to kill myself. I would swallow volumes whole, put them down my throat, and just get so mad when I woke up in the morning. And all the while, nobody really knew this about me. But there was this one night, I went out, and I ended up in a crack house. And I was there for I don't know how many days. But we were cooking it up, and we were cooking it, smoking it, and going out. I didn't even know these people. I don't know how I got there. And to this day, honest to God, I don't know how I left there either. But I did get out of there. I left there, and I took off and went to Florida. And I moved in with a friend of mine that I knew since I was 8 years old. And I'm just going to get to that in a minute. But a couple of weeks while I was in Florida, I saw this headlines in the paper, and they called it like almost like a Brooklyn St. Valentine's massacre. And every person that was in that crack house, besides me and this other guy, a friend of mine, was massacred with machine guns against the wall, and nobody lived. I'm telling you, when God has a plan for you, nothing can snuff it out. I got involved with my girlfriend that I knew since I was 8 years old. By this time, I was 27. And we just decided to go to the clubs because we loved music, and gay music was the best music. So we just went to the underground clubs. And I'm going to tell you something. When you start hanging out in places, that atmosphere gets in you. Music, if you think music is harmless, you better watch what music you're listening to, because there's a spirit behind that music. And the enemy knows how to get to us. And so we would just go in, and before you knew it, we were together. We became an item. And it was in that relationship. This relationship lasted for 10 years. It was in that relationship And I'm telling you, when God says he makes us male and female, he said this in the Garden of Eden. He said, I make you in my likeness. I make you male and female. They didn't need another stall for another gender in the Garden of Eden. There's male and female. It was in this relationship that I just felt so dirty, so shameful. I would lay my head on the pillow at night and the devil would say, look what you look like. Look at you. You're nothing. You're never going to be nothing. And I would get up and I would just go out and I would party. And at this time, we moved back to New York City 10 years later and we just started taking the clubs. And that's when I started dealing like ecstasy and K. And all of this stuff was going on and I just didn't know where I was going to end up with all of this stuff. It became, I supplied Brooklyn, New York, Philadelphia, California. It was crazy. And I would make FedEx. I would send everything in FedEx. And we set like an ecstasy factory in my apartment. And so all of this to say is that if the devil comes to you, you know, God said to Adam and Eve, like when you go back to your history, you know, in that garden, he made everything beautiful for them. They walked with God and they talked with God in the cool of the day. They had fellowship with God. There was no shame. There was no humiliation. There was no sin. And here he goes. God says, listen to me. Every tree in this garden you could eat from. But this one tree, if you touch it, you're going to die. Isn't that something that we could have all of this? But I bet you there's somebody here tonight, you can't let go of that one thing. You got all of this, but I'm telling you, the devil knows how to drive you. And here comes the serpent with the venom and the poison of sin. And he says, did God really say? Did God really say that you shouldn't have sex outside the bounds of marriage? Did God really say he only made you male and female? Did God really say adultery is a sin? You cannot sleep with somebody's man or husband or wife. And he comes with a venom and a poison and he begins to cloud our mind. And let me tell you something. We've all been bit by this serpent. And this is how it goes. The serpent bit God's creation and the serpent's venom poisoned our vitals. And since then, man's greatest poison is in thinking we have the ability to know right from wrong. We're living in a society right now today, my brothers, my sisters, where you're hearing permeating through the, did God really say? Did God really say? And because it's almost like nobody wants to talk about God, they want to put God away. They want to shut him out. They want to shut him down. But I got news for you. He's everywhere. He's in your pocket right now. You can't get rid of God. Hallelujah. This poison tells us we are poisoned to think we're making right choices, even though it doesn't line up with God's truth. You don't know right or wrong. We don't know right and wrong. And all of us, Richie, Emmy, me, every person in this place that has given their life to God, all it is giving your life to God, is coming to a place in your life where you have to stop back and think, you know what? I don't know how to make right choices. Every choice I made led me to one deep, dark place. And if you're here tonight and you're being honest, there's a loneliness inside of you. You lay on your pillow at night and you hit the wall. You hit the wall. Nobody knows it. You're lonely. You're fearful. You're full of anxiety. You're scared. You're wondering what this life is all about. And that's what happened to me. I started wondering, God, are you real? God, where are you? God, what is my purpose? You know, everybody wants to know where they come from, why they're here, and where they're going, okay? Origin, purpose, destiny. Let me tell you, you came from God. You were here to fulfill a purpose that he only has for you, to glorify his name, to snatch other people out of hell, like we're going to do tonight, and we're going to heaven for whosoever will. But I got to tell you, that other guy that got out of that massacre that was with me in that crack house. I wish Tim Delina was here because they put him in a witness protection program, this guy, and he started calling me up. I'm smoking a blunt and he's telling me about Jesus. I'm sitting on the couch with my girlfriend and he starts talking about Jesus. I'm like, is this guy? I'm like, Robbie, you're just blowing my mind right now. But you know, my mother was praying for me. My mother was praying for me. And I'll tell you what, if you're worrying about your child or if you know somebody that's struggling, oh, if you're here and you're gender confused, let me tell you something. I say lovingly, I understand that struggle. I understand what it feels like to be a tomboy and you don't line up to what the world says girls need to look like. And so you come up with this idea, I'm gay. I understand. The struggle is real. God's not ashamed of it. God can meet you. God's mercy will meet you right where you are. I used to say, I'm so gay, I can't even think straight. I didn't want the husband. I was so incensed against it. But my mother was praying, and I started crying out to God. And this guy called me in my apartment, and there was just this one night. I just want to back up because I want to talk about a scripture that Pastor Carter spoke when I first came to this church. But I was in the yard with my girlfriend and a bunch of my friends, and we were in a drunken stupor, and somebody said to me, stupid is right. Somebody said to me, go to a bookstore and find out what your name means. And this was 8 months before this apartment thing that I'm going to tell you about. So I went to the bookstore, and right away, it was like I saw the plaques. It was a little plaque, and it said, Lisa, devoted one. And underneath it, it said, I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will take your stony heart, and I will replace it with a soft, responsive heart, giving me the ability to agree with God. And then I will pour my spirit into you, and you will be enabled and empowered to obey me. Let me tell you something. I took this plaque. It said devoted one. I wasn't really devoted to him, but God takes things that are not as if they already are. And I could totally tell you today, I am totally devoted. I am totally in love with Jesus. And I got to that yard. I took this Bible that I must have robbed from a hotel, and I opened it up to Ezekiel, and I went to the backyard, and I was going to disturb their fun. And I said, hey, guys, listen to this. And I started reading from Ezekiel. And I'm like, I closed the book after I read that passage. I shut it. I said, I'm going to be a preacher. And they all laughed at me. But God was relentless. God was relentless. I was on a plane to go into gay Disney. This day, Disney was only gay. They weren't letting straight people in. And I took my family. This is how crazy I was. And I got on this plane, and I found this little green book that I found in St. Patrick's Cathedral over there. And it was a New Testament. And I started getting a hunger. When I read that scripture, it only takes one word from God. I could not shake it. I could not let that go. I will sprinkle clean water on you. I'm going to pour my spirit in you, and I'm going to enable you to obey. It was working something in me. Jesus was on the inside, working something supernatural. When I got into this plane, this guy was sitting next to me, and he started reading, and he said, where do you live? I said, I live on 57th Street, First Avenue. He said, oh, you got to go to Times Square Church. I'm like, a church in Times Square? There ain't no way I'm going. I go, how should I dress? I'm going. He said, well, listen, if you want to go, he said, my wife, I'm divorced from my wife. She still goes there. And this guy was so entrenched. He was one of the promoters at the parties that were going on. Also, I was working in a jazz club right here on 57th Street. Right around the corner from you, Tommy. 57th Street. And this lady was there, and she was backslidden. She was a backslidden minister. She used to be a star on Broadway here. She was in Dreamgirls and everything. I know I'm dating myself. But she would come to me, and she would tell me, go home and read your Bible. And I would say, her name was Bonzella. If you are ever listening to this, Bonzella, I'm dying to see you again. She told me, I asked this, homosexuality is sin. She goes, honey, just read the Bible. And one night, she just started singing Jesus. It was a jam session, and it was a dark room in the back. There would just be people that would sign up and sing. And all of a sudden, everything stopped in the club. And there was just peace. And I was like, get out of the way. Let me go see what's happening. And I went over to her and I said, Bonzella, what was that? She said, oh, I was singing to Jesus. I got to get out of here. She left. The next day, the club closed down. So I'm in my apartment. This guy that's in the witness protection program, I'm telling you, God, no prison door, nothing can hold God back. When God is on the move, he calls me, but this time I had a knife in my stomach and I was trying to kill myself. I was strung out. I was a mess. But you know something? God loves to meet us in a mess. He is not ashamed of our struggle. He will go garbage picking with us until we need him. He will come. He's relentless. When God sets his heart on us, because God sees us not the way we are. When I met Emmy, I never saw Emmy the way she saw herself. I see Emmy right now testifying to you. And yet, what happened was, I picked up the phone. He's like, what are you doing? I said, I hate my life. I hate what I look like. I hate what I feel like. I'm suicidal. I don't have any way out. I'm drinking again. I'm doing drugs again. And he said, Lisa, every decision you make could take you to the cross of Jesus Christ or away from it. And the blood he shed could set you free. But we got cut off, and I can't call him. He's in the witness protection. But it was right there. God knows what he's doing. It was right there. I was like, Jesus, if you're real, I'm never going to go to sleep because I've been crashed for 12 hours. And I was like, Jesus, if you're real, change me. I hate what I look like. I hate what I feel like. I'm in darkness. I don't know what to do. If you're real, change me. Telling you, as sure as I'm sitting here right now, a street light, I thought it was a street light outside of my apartment, a brightness came into my apartment. I felt love. I felt love for the first time in my life. I felt his presence. I felt peace. And you know, God will talk to you the way you understand. He said, you know what, Tammy? You've been driving this car long enough. Pull over and give me the wheel. And honestly, I had a little tape that my ex-girlfriend gave me. It was a birthday gift. Our friend's parents gave us a set of 10 tapes. Then you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. And I put that tape in. I fell asleep and I woke up the next morning and I put that tape in. And it said, if you're ready to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, repeat this prayer. And I got saved right there. Meaning I gave my life to the one who knows better. I got dressed and I'm coming to Times Square Church. There was a number on the tape. I called the number. They're like, you got to go to Times Square Church. I'm like, why? They're like, because it's full of the Holy Ghost. I go, listen, don't be sending me this hallelujah, praise the Lord stuff. But I came. I was at the 3 o'clock service and Pastor Carter, he opened up the Bible and he started preaching from Ezekiel. I will take your heart of stone. You cannot make this stuff up. You can't. We've all been bit by this venom. The Bible says that for everyone has sinned and falls short. We missed the mark. When Adam sinned, sin entered the world, and Adam's sin brought death. So death spread to everyone. We have all been bitten, but Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He's the precious Lamb of God. He is God and he is the only God. There's no other God. He's the only God that died and resurrected and came back and now desires to live inside of us to give us resurrection life. Let me tell you something. Jesus is the Lamb of God. And I just want to leave you with this. Why a lamb? Why wouldn't they call Jesus the goat of God? Why was Jesus never called the bull of God? Why was he called the Lamb of God? Think about a lamb and a serpent. If those two got in a fight, who would you pick to win? I want to give you some scientific facts tonight. Let's call it the science of the lamb. This is not me. I found this on the internet, and it happens to be true. I'm not going to take credit for it. You know why Jesus was called the Lamb of God? It's because a lamb is the only four-footed animal that can withstand the bite of a venomous serpent. Oh, I got more. No, don't clap yet. Don't clap yet. All right, go ahead, clap. For many years, scientists have sought an antidote for snake bites using the blood of horses to produce an anti-venom until it was discovered that the lamb's blood built up a tolerance to the serpent's poison much faster. To develop the antidote for snake bites, I'm sorry, I'm screaming, I'm very excited. Scientists literally took the serpent's venom and mixed it with the lamb's blood, and it's scientifically proven that the blood does not coagulate. It does not mix like it does in other animals, but the proteins in the blood of the lamb actually get stronger. I don't know if you're getting this tonight. I don't know if you're getting this tonight. The lamb's blood would immediately begin to produce an antibody that would counteract the venom of a snake. And Satan knew this. That is why he was after the lamb from the moment he was born. And to illustrate this further, let me lead you to the cross. When the lamb was being crucified 39 times at the expense of a Roman whip, 39 bites of the serpent, and the lamb got stronger. One more with the crown of thorns, and the lamb got stronger. Two more with the nails in his hands, and the lamb got stronger. Two more in his feet, and the lamb got stronger. And then Jesus said, "It is finished." Hallelujah! Hallelujah! It's finished! It's finished! It's finished! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Glory to God! Glory to God! Glory to God! Hallelujah! 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 Stand up with me! Hallelujah! Oh, glory! Hallelujah! 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 Listen, I said I wasn't going to testify, but I couldn't keep it to myself. I just couldn't keep it to myself. Hallelujah! 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 The precious blood of God. The precious blood of the Lamb. The blood dropped, blotted, broke homosexuality. The blood dropped, blotted drug addiction. The blood dropped, blotted out any kind of addiction that I was addicted to. He is the sinless, precious Lamb of God. If you were bitten by a snake and you don't have to figure it out, you have, get out of your seats right now. Don't let this moment pass. I want you to come. We're going to sing a song. If you are here tonight and you will have alcohol addiction, 2 bottles of Jack Daniels a day, I drink water and lemon. If you are here tonight and you are suicidal, let me tell you, I'm living and loving life. If you're gender confused, I'm a woman and I'm loving it. Listen to me. Get out of your seat. Come. Will everybody stand? Hallelujah. 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 As we're singing, God is wanting to change your life tonight. You don't make promise to God. He's the promise maker and the promise keeper. So we're going to have this beautiful choir sing. And as we're singing, just get out of your seat. If you're with somebody, just tell them to take you. Don't be afraid. God wants to change everything about your life tonight. In Jesus' name. Pray this prayer. Heart to Jesus. He wants to come in. You ask him to forgive you and the totality of who he is poured upon you in the person of the Holy Spirit. Keep coming back to church. Don't stop. Don't let this be one stop. Just keep coming. But let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you that you shed your blood for me. Forgive me. I am a sinner. I am asking you to come into my heart and to be my Lord and Savior. Now lift up your hands. Just talk to God. He just wants to hear your voice. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. You didn't take all day with me, Lord. I came, Lord, and you touched me. You said, Lord, you'll sprinkle clean water on me. You will take my stony heart and give me a soft, responsive heart. You will put your spirit in me and you will cause us to obey you, Lord. And I thank you, Satan. I thank you, Jesus, that Satan, the blood of Jesus, is against you tonight. I thank you for the work that you're doing. I come against every lie. God, I thank you that you're breaking every addiction. Lord, you're breaking every stronghold. You're breaking generational curses. You are going so deep to the roots, God, and you're giving them value and worth, Lord. And Lord, I just thank you for what you're doing. Let there be an evidence of your presence, God, an evidence of your peace, an evidence of your power. And Lord, I just thank you for what you're doing here tonight. In Jesus' name.